analyst Jamie Thomas from 680 CJOB. Jamie, pretty big summer by the Winnipeg Jets and addressing a definite area of need, bringing in two defensemen. Where do these two guys slot in?
Well, Jason, first off, I'm in Ontario, so I'm not swatting no mosquitoes right now. So.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
But yes, ordinarily I would be swatting the odd occasional mosquitoes, so I appreciate that. Secondly, to answer your question, listen, it's funny how you go into an off season. There's this panic going on, and you go into the draft, and they haven't really addressed anything. And all of a sudden, Kevin Cheveldayoff pulls off a couple of shrewd moves and bringing Brendan Dillon in from the Washington Capitals and Nate Schmidt from the Vancouver Canucks. And all of a sudden, you're having a great conversation about how the Jets' blue line looks. And you know, you also bring in re-sign Logan Stanley to make sure you solidify your back end. But you know, you go back 2 years ago to 2017-18, or 3 years ago now, and they were kind of the envy of the NHL with their back end. And then you have your mass exodus of defensemen. You lose Ben Sherratt. Dustin Byfuglien retires out of nowhere, and that kind of throws things for a loop. And then you're scrambling for a little bit, and you have all-world goaltender Connor Hellebuck helping you out. But Nate Schmidt and Brendan Dillon, first off, is going to help address, like, I think, you know, Andrew Copp said at the end of last year, they had to be a lot tougher to play against. And I think Brendan Dillon kind of addresses that. And Nate Schmidt gives you some more puck movement in the back end, defense pairing, and down the other team's best. So you can use Schmidt either on your first pairing with Josh Morrissey or on your back or your third pairing with Logan Stanley. So it gives Paul Maurice multiple options on his back end, and all of a sudden you're having a better conversation about how you feel about the Jets' chances and what I think is going to be one of the most competitive divisions in the NHL in the Central this year.
Those two additions, what does it mean to Sammy Nuku? I know that a player that a lot of Winnipeg Jets fans have been waiting to arrive.
Yeah. And, you know, Jason, I'm sure you remember this when you play. There's always that one prospect in the system that all fans feel should be in the NHL that's overlooked. I think now you have Ville Heinola, who was a first-round draft pick a couple of seasons ago. You also have Dylan Sandberg. So kind of a couple of guys have jumped him on the depth chart, and certainly Logan Stanley, right? Logan Stanley wasn't supposed to be in this position, but he does that. Obviously, with size and reach, and I can go down the list of reasons why Logan Stanley's. But I think Sammy Nuku's, I don't want to say his days are behind him, but probably you're looking at the point where it's whether he's going to say he's going to look for a trade or the team's going to be looking for it. I'm sure they're going to love having him down in the American Hockey League with the Manitoba Moose, but I don't know where Sammy's head is in that one. But it's basically a kid on the best defenseman. In the American Hockey League award a few seasons ago, and you get past the depth chart, all of a sudden you blink, and all of a sudden Sammy Nuku is kind of that guy that's left behind. And when you have all these big moves in the offseason that Kevin Cheveldayoff has just made.
Jamie Thomas joined us, a radio analyst for the Winnipeg Jets, as we look through their offseason. With Shifley, Dubois, and Lowry, is there any chance that Stastny plays center?
Because you know that Dubois is pretty young, right, Jason? And there's kind of that transferring period. He had a tough year with the Columbus Blue Jackets, gets traded, has to do the 2-week quarantine. Then he got hurt. Then he got hurt again. And learning the Jets system kind of threw him off. And then there's that whole thing of, you know, deferring the puck too many times. So I don't know if they're going to, like, leave Paul Stastny at center and put Dubois on the wing for a little bit to start the year until Pierre-Luc gets more comfortable as a centerman in the Jets system. I don't want to say he's not comfortable as a centerman, but in the Jets system and with his line mates. So I think, you know, clearly Paul Stastny showed he can play the wing, but I think to start the year, and this is just a guess on my behalf, I think they'll start with Pierre-Luc Dubois on the wing and have Paul Stastny at center on the second line. And then you throw Riley Nash in the midst as your fourth line center, and the Jets, again, it's a strength certainly up the middle that they had going into the playoffs a year ago.
It feels like when I watch the Jets and with the additions they made, they've made a very conscious decision to get big and tall. Like you got Wheeler, Shifley, Dubois, Lowry is a big guy, Dillon, you know, Logan Stanley you mentioned. Like obviously that's something they want to do. And is that what the team believes in, or is that to compete in the division they're at?
I think because watching the Central Division, you know, and Paul Maurice has pointed out this, it's a law, it's a heavy division. And there's a lot of heavy games, a lot of contact, a lot of high emotional games. A little bit bigger. St. Louis is a big team. I think Dallas is a big team. Like Colorado's quick, but also has some size to them as well. So I think it's to compete in the division, but also overall, I think in the Western Conference on top of that. So they made a conscious effort to get a little bit bigger after losing all that size with Tyler Myers and Ben Sherrod, the guys I talked about a little bit earlier. And certainly adding some size up front helps a lot to get through those tough times in January and February and when the Central Division starts heating up a lot. So, yeah, I think it's certainly Paul Maurice was hoping for some more size, and some size has been brought in.
Any update on where the contract status of Neil Pionk is heading?
Well, they're still kind of in those conversations. Of course, arbitration is just around the corner. Andrew Kopp is in that same situation, except he's going for another time through the ringer. You know, Neil Pionk has earned the opportunity, I think, to make some pretty good money. You know, he flip-flopped with Josh Morris as your top power play unit. He was with Derek Forbert last year, you know, going in as that pseudo top defense pairing, going up against the other team's best. Until Dylan DeMello kind of got his game rectified and to play alongside Josh Morrissey. So you're getting there. You're hoping they get there before arbitration, because those conversations are never fun for both the team and the player. So I'm hoping that something can be done. But if it isn't, I'm sure something that they'll understand the process, and hopefully nobody's feelings are too hurt afterwards if they have to go down that route.
Is there cap space remaining enough for the Jets to both get Kopp and Pionk under the cap number?
Yeah, it's tight, right? I'm thinking Neil Pionk's going to be around $5 or $6 million. That's not leaving you a whole lot with Andrew Kopp. And, you know, Andrew Kopp he kind of had that perfect storm last year. There was injuries, so he got to play in the top six. He played some center. You know, he played bottom six. He killed penalties. He was on the power play as well. So if you're going into a contract, you're in a contract season and you're given all those opportunities, man, it's you're smiling if you're Andrew Kopp and your agent heading into the off season. But it's going to be tight. I don't know if there's going to be conversations, you know, take this now and we'll reward you next year if we make some cap space, or if that contract's going to be written and there's going to be some more tough decisions to be made in the off season with, you know, with the flat cap era right now. There's, you know, the Winnipeg Jets aren't the only team in the National Hockey League going to have to make some tough decisions. So to answer your question, it's going to be tight.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. It looks really tight. In fact, yeah, it's so tight, I don't think it's doable. You know, So when you look at, like, how do you really, you know, it again, this from a distance, it feels like he's a guy that's going to have to be traded. Like, I just don't, you know, because you just signed Stastny, Pierre-Luc Dubois, you're not moving Ehlers, Scheifele, Connor, and Blake Wheeler aren't going anywhere. Then we just went through the D-man. You know, you're not trading your goaltender that's won you a ton of games. I don't know where is it, you know, I don't see where he fit it in. Or is it Brian Little? Does that have something to do with
that great year? Yeah, you have this great year, right? And you can't, and the team has made some big moves, and now there's like you're in a really tough spot right now. And I'm not going to talk about hometown discount, because Andrew Kopp has earned that opportunity to make as much money and not take a hometown discount if they want to win. And, you know, Kevin Cheveldayoff is going to have to be creative, but I agree with you. It is, I mean, I'm using the term tight because I'm trying to be as positive as possible. It's going to be it's going to be as difficult as you can possibly imagine with the decisions that are going to have to be made. And who knows if, you know, trade seems like the easiest way to do it, but I don't know, like, do you want to lose Andrew Kopp? Do you want to lose somebody that can do so many things in your lineup? That can move up and down, because you don't have Matthew Perreault anymore. That was kind of your Swiss Army knife for the longest time. And again, Andrew Kopp had career highs last year, and then that was in the shortened season. So are you kicking yourself for letting him go too? Or was that the best Andrew Kopp you're going to get, and you feel like you can move on from him and provide yourself cap relief? Taking care of him, which is something that had to be fixed. And now you've left yourself in another quandary with the way that the salary cap is working this year.
Yeah, crazy. It's so interesting. His flat salary cap, and it's not going away anytime soon. It's like a Winnipeg winter. He's always have one last breath in it. So tough one. Jamie, thanks, buddy. I'm sure we'll catch up to you as we head into the season when it starts up, or the training camps in about a month. Get back to swatting flies or mosquitoes, whatever you do in Ontario.
Thanks, buddy. I'll go spend some time with family. I appreciate it, Jason.